Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our program on the other side of the glass. Tom, I'm happy to report, and I put this out on my Facebook page, we had a half an inch of rain up at our hacienda yesterday, and that's really good news because the airport, I think, only had a fraction of that.
You have your own rain gauge,
yes,
don't
we do.
You?
In the backyard, have our own rain gauge. Had a torrential downpour at about 1 o'clock, and that's what that robust little rainfall from 1 to 1:30 added up, and it's really good. But
unfortunately, we don't have any rain in the forecast, but we do have some pleasant weather for the next week or so.
I could certainly use that right now. All right, it is our midweek edition. It's Wednesday, the final Wednesday of March, the 30th, 2022, Buckmaster Show in our 12th year here on the radio, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030 KVOI, The Voice. The Voice for Trusted News Talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We welcome back to the program General Ted Maxwell, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. General Maxwell served 15 years in active duty Air Force and an additional 19 in the Arizona Air National Guard. He retired as a Major General in 2018. His final military position was that of Commander of the Arizona Air National Guard. In 2021, General Maxwell was appointed by Governor Ducey to represent Pima County on the 7-member Arizona State Transportation Board. He is, because of that position, he is a member of the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board of Directors. General, good to see you again.
Good afternoon, Bill. Always great to be with you.
What are you monitoring, you and your colleagues, as far as legislation that would impact specifically the Tucson metro area in southern Arizona?
Well, there are a lot of bills that are going through the legislature, particularly now as it's coming towards the end of the session. Sort of the last couple of days have been big appropriations days, because that's one of the few committees that can still meet. And then they've got to get down to the final approval of all the bills that they put forward and eventually have the budget discussion as well. But there's been a lot of movement this year towards the end, and a lot of bills that people thought were dead have been brought back to life. And sometimes it's just in order to give them a hearing. And you've seen that a lot on a lot of the election bills. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the election, when you come into this session, was going to be a big issue for the legislators for a couple reasons. One, they're hearing from their constituents that some are upset about people trying to make it tougher to vote, and some are upset about people not making it tougher to cheat. You've got different mm-hmm. sides of this argument that want to make improvements. I mean, personally, I'd like to see continuous improvement of all of our systems because it will make for better government. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's really side-oriented. And so you're seeing a lot of bills that at one point were deemed dead that were revived in the other chamber of the state legislature for at least a hearing and got a vote. But they probably still are dead. They're probably not going to move forward. There's a handful that are, and several of them will end up on our election ballots in 2022 for the citizens of Arizona to decide, because a lot of changes.
Including a move to make a lieutenant governor position, a permanent. Well, we don't have a lieutenant governor position, one of 5 or 6 states that doesn't. This position that voters would be asked to approve would also become the head of a state agency, which Senator Messnard, J.D. Messnard, who's pushing this, feels would save money.
And that's one of the examples of what is being done a lot this year. We may face up to about 12 to 13 referrals to the ballot next year.
Really?
And think about, at the end of the ballot, normally you go through all the voting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
2022 is
sure.
going to be a big voting. And then you get down to all these propositions. Mm-hmm. And normally there are citizens initiatives. And there mm-hmm. may be 1 or 2 citizens initiatives that will mm-hmm. be on the ballot. But there's probably going to be somewhere, there's already 4 that have been approved by the legislature to go forward. There's a good chance there's going to be another 4 or 5 that are going to be added. We're going to have a lot of different issues next year to digest and think about. And more importantly, to educate the voters on, mm-hmm. to get educate our citizens on what it is we're actually voting. And the lieutenant governor one proposed by Senator Mesnard has not yet gotten to the point where it's going to the voters. Mm-hmm. And for, you know, your audience's information, if the legislature approves something to go to the voters, it doesn't have to get signed by the governor. Mm-hmm. It just goes. So if the Senate and the House agree on something, it goes forward.
I did not know the governor did not have to sign off. It can go. It is a direct pipeline from the Capitol to the ballot.
To the ballot. And you'll see they're listed as HCRs, concurrent resolutions, and House concurrent resolutions, and SCRs, the Senate concurrent resolutions. And as long as they get approval from both houses, mm-hmm. they go to the ballot. There's nothing the governor can do to either endorse or not.
Any that you can tell us about that will make the ballot? Have they already decided on some?
The ones that are on the ballot already there's a couple. One was a citizens initiative, and that's the challenge to Prop. It's actually Prop 307, but it's the challenge to the tax cut that was put in place. Now, the legislature more than likely is going to go into a special session at some point, and they will repeal the law they passed last year, which is the one that the Save Our Schools mm-hmm. group gathered enough signatures to go to the ballot. They'll repeal that. They'll put another similar tax cut in place, but it'll be different enough that if the organization that gathered all the signatures wants to do it again, they're going to have to gather another 400,000 signatures to get it back to the ballot. So that one right now is supposed to be on there. We'll see if it sticks. But the other ones, there's one that's a Voter Protection Act court determination. It allows the legislature, if something's found in wrong with a voter protected citizens initiative to be unconstitutional, then the legislature really has gives them wide scoping permission to what to do, not only with the funds created from that bill, but also with the bill itself. That's going to be on the ballot. The Tucson, the tuition post-secondary education, which has to do with giving Dreamers in-state tuition, that's going to be on the ballot. Mm. As of now, that was passed actually last legislative session. There's also one to force citizens initiatives to have a single subject title. And that's going to be on the ballot. And then there's one for voter identification affidavit. The governor just signed a voter identification or a voter registration law into place today that may require everybody who registered as a voter prior to 2004, we may all have to go back and re-register.
Really?
with appropriate identification of our citizenry and, mm-hmm. and our right to vote. But there's going to also be one that's going to be on the ballot for next year that will require for mail-in ballots. It's going to eliminate it's going to require basically you have to have a second form of documentation to prove who you are mm-hmm. as of now, it's just your signature verification. Mm-hmm. And this would require basically a use of an state issued mm-hmm. ID and a date of birth.
The whole, I'm glad you brought up the mail-in ballots, because there have been some overtures toward doing away with mail-in balloting in Arizona, and we've been really one of the pioneers in that area. The move to do away with it entirely and cast ballots, but all ballots have to be by paper. I know when Senator Mesnard was with me a week or so on the show, he says there's just no way that's going to go anywhere.
That's a good example of one of those bills that was dead. Representative Fillmore had a bill that, in his own words, he said would take us back to voting like we were in 1958, which that in of itself makes no sense to me. But it was the bill that was revived. It did not get out of the House. Speaker Bowers assigned it to every committee, effectively killing it. But Senator Townsend basically used a strike all type of maneuver to give it a hearing in Senate Gov, and it passed out of there, including with Senator Mesnard's vote. But Senator Mesnard was very clear. As this bill's written right now, there's no way I'm going to support it, because it not only would eliminate mail-in voting, it required a hand count, and it required that hand count to be done within 24 hours.
Yes, that ain't gonna happen.
So, that was an example of what
I know, it's just crazy.
I think we're seeing with some of these bills, they're giving them sound bites.
Sure.
And they're going to be able to go out and use that when they are campaigning for re-election on, look at, this is the type of stuff I'm trying to do with no real likelihood. But there's still There's still a couple election bills out there that may or may not get all the way to impact stuff. But most of what I think you're going to see is going to be this push. Okay, let's put it in front of the voters. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the voters want.
There's nothing specifically coming out of Phoenix that impacts Tucson, or is there?
It's really interesting. Yesterday, there was one that was talking about how you elect judges, and it really impacted Pinal County.
Okay.
But there's nothing targeting Tucson specifically. Obviously, most of the legislation that occurs up there has a statewide impact.
Of course.
And it would change how we do things. But there's nothing that you would turn to right now saying, oh, that's a bill targeting changing things, how they do business in Tucson right now.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, we'll stick around. General, right now I want to talk about my favorite bakery in town. You know, you've been here before. You know I love Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. General, you love bakery goods, don't you?
I do. I wish they probably don't love me as much, but, you know, I do.
Mona's open right now for lunch, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. I'm very, very partial right now to the bear claws that they are doing. That's my latest favorite out of Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. Beautiful color pictures of everything on the menu. They open for breakfast. Folks are waiting. I don't blame them. Find out what all the excitement is about when Steve opens the door at 6:30 for breakfast Tuesday through Sunday. Check it out, monasdanishbakery.com. More with General Ted Maxwell, Southern Arizona Leadership Council, right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. To prepare for ongoing project delivery, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for a new draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Coming up at 12:30, Jim Click will be with us, well-known automotive dealer and philanthropist, talking about this year's Millions for Tucson charity. Ted Maxwell is here, who Ted heads up, General Maxwell, the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. Mr. Click really does. He contributes so much to this community.
You know, Bill, honestly, there's nothing that gets me more upset when I hear the people try to criticize Jim and the success. There's nobody who's one more grateful and aware of what the city of Tucson and this region has done for him and his family. And there's no one although there's a couple of folks that are trying to compete with him now who give back more to this community. You know, Jim's got a heart of gold, and a lot of people like to say he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's just not true. He's done more for this region than I think anybody, and it's important to recognize that.
Well, I think one thing it's going to do a lot for our region is the first nonstop flights. There'll be five of them coming down from Canadian cities, four of the Canadian cities in Alberta and British Columbia, and then Windsor right across the bridge of friendship from Detroit. Nonstop service, that was announced yesterday. There's a startup airline, apparently very aggressive, low-cost carrier called Flair. And they announced yesterday that in the winter season, starting in November for our primetime season, Ted Maxwell, that they're coming to Tucson with nonstop service. I think this is a huge deal.
Oh, Bill, I agree with you. I think people underestimate the value that an airport brings to a community when it comes to business attraction, tourism. The nonstop flights can be the difference between where somebody's going to visit or not. And if you look at what drives our economy here locally so much, it does revolve a lot around our tourism. The beautiful nature we've got here, the outdoors, the weather, the clean air, it's why people want to come to Southern Arizona. But sometimes we forget that also this direct capability also improves the chances of businesses wanting to come here.
Right.
Businesses, yes, it can be done online. It can be done virtually a lot now. But there's still businesses that need business travel, and they want it to be convenient, easy, and simple. We've seen the airport before in the past try very hard and do a good job at recruiting and getting some of the airlines to give us nonstop flights. You know, we had a nonstop to New York for a while. It didn't uphold. I'm a big believer nonstop to Washington, D.C. because of Raytheon and the defense industry and sector and segment in this region would be huge. But it can truly impact our economy and bring jobs. And jobs is how we're going to address poverty and other issues in this region that we would like to be able to address.
And the Edmonton area, Edmonton, Alberta, is a huge market for Canadian tourism into the United States. There's been nonstop service from Edmonton into Phoenix for years and from Calgary. But we are getting a nonstop from Edmonton into Tucson. And I believe it's really going to pay off. People underestimate the Canadian influence up in the Phoenix area. Many Canadians have their second homes. Their summer home, if you will, is in the Phoenix area.
I think so
that's going to translate to Tucson real estate as well.
And the other thing that I think people overlook is the willingness of the Canadians to invest in Southern Arizona and to invest in the border region. There is so much that can parlay. And, you know, I've got relatives, you know, my son-in-law's father and his wife, they've got a place up in Nova Scotia. They do the back and forth. He's a dual citizen. It's important. And that is the kind of travel we need to encourage and that kind of access. So it's, you know, I would have loved to have seen it on the front page, as you kind of alluded to of the paper, because it was that's a significant event.
And if it does well, which I think it will for the winter, I'd like to see, and there is the possibility of year-round service, then you're going to really see opening up Tucsonans going up to Edmonton, because Edmonton is a jumping off place. a 2-hour drive west over to Jasper National Park and the Canadian Rockies, which to me, one of the world's great destinations. So there's all sorts of possibilities here.
So Bill, are you saying in the summer, sometimes people like to get out of this region?
Yeah, that's why they love Seattle and they love the Northwest. Just ask Alaska Airlines why they're doing so well out of Tucson. The same would happen if they had year-round service up to Edmonton. We had the mayor on the program, Mayor Romero. She said some very nice things about you, General Maxwell, and we were talking about the city's measure to, the mayor said, basically upgrade at least patch pretty much every pothole and on all the streets in Tucson over a 5-year period if Proposition 411 is approved on May 17th. She thinks it's a nice gateway to RTA next.
And Bill, I think 411 showed that the city had said, okay, we're in on the RTA. I mean, there's a lot of banner, a lot of talk, a lot of discussions. But the fact of the matter is, the RTA is just what it states it is, a regional transportation authority. It's going to deal with regional roads, transportation and movement of people, goods, and services throughout all of Pima County and all of our southern region, where Tucson is the center point and the hub. Mm-hmm. This Prop 411 is an example that they said, okay, we're going to rely on the RTA for the regional approach, mm-hmm. but we need to take care of our city streets. Mm-hmm. And what it does, 80% of it, as you know, goes towards the neighborhood roads and communities. And there's a lot of folks like our organization that have said the city needs to pay more attention to their roads. Well, that's what they're doing here. Mm-hmm. They're, as you stated, they're going to hit all those neighborhood streets because that brings the ambiance, the curb appeal, the satisfaction, the happiness mm-hmm. with where we live. That impacts our quality of life. But it also impacts our economy and, again, the ability for businesses to flourish in this region. And it's through that those opportunities that we'll be able to have more jobs, more opportunities, address unemployment, address poverty in the region, and move forward.
One of the many hats you wear, and you really, I don't know how you do it, you've got the Arizona Department of Transportation, you've got the Southern Arizona Leadership Council, you're on the Governor's Water Augmentation, Innovation, and Conservation Council. One of the things that is coming out of the legislature, first of all, we have a $3 billion, that's with a B, rainy day fund. Perhaps a third of that might go toward a water authority. How serious does this look? Is this a strong possibility that something's going to be done moving forward as far as water planning?
I think it's a very strong possibility. One, it was one of the governor's driving forces
signature
behind his State
piece,
of the State.
Yeah.
It was his piece. He mm-hmm. wanted to make an impact that's going to impact Arizona and water management for years to come. One thing this state has done incredibly well over the years, go back to Mo Udall and working, we have managed our water situation. And yes, as we continue to grow, that means there's more demands on water. So we need something along the lines of a water authority, which can go out and work on not only developing new resources to augment our water system, but also to possibly purchase and bank and store and use and allocate. And it's not going to replace ADWR. The Arizona Department of Water Resources is still going to be there, but this is a different entity. And I do think it's going to play a significant role going forward because it's an area that a lot of people can have input into. A lot of the different concerns with our water uses can be addressed by a water authority that takes responsibility for the overall management, or not management, because that's still mm-hmm. the water resources, the CAP mm-hmm. board, mm-hmm. obviously still going to play because Central Arizona Project will remain one of our main water sources in the state to get water from parts of the state to others to service not only our citizenry and our quality of life, but also to support our economic vibrancy. And I think it's going to be a reality. It's whether they'll put a million there, you know, those budget discussions. Sorry, it was a couple zeros off.
I hope
off.
It's more than 1 million.
Yeah. But, you know, that's all going to be a budget discussion later. There's still going to be a lot of needs. Appropriations, like we talked about earlier, mm-hmm. appropriations have been passing a lot of different financial bills, but some will live and die during the budget conversations. But the establishment and the focus of what the future of water is, that you mentioned the Augmentation, mm-hmm. Innovation, and mm-hmm. Conservation Council that I'm on with mm-hmm. water. The augmentation group, long-term water augmentation group, has done a lot of research. And there's, you know, the desalinization has gotten a lot of attention. And everybody goes to the plant in Mexico. And that's a big dollar mm-hmm. long-term. But what people don't realize, there's brackish water throughout the state of Arizona, too, that could be desalinated to contribute more to our water. There's so many different options we have.
That would be a much more scalable kind of situation than the issue in Mexico, because you're dealing with a, you know, binational kind of agreements would have to be made.
Absolutely. And I've always said, Bill, the thing that will determine how we proceed forward with water is going to be based on the cost. And the one thing mm-hmm. that the drought contingency plan did for the first time was it established a cost of an acre foot of water, mm-hmm. because that's how the tribes who said they were willing to not use all their water, and they would let the state could purchase it to augment the impact on the agriculture community and others. It established a price. Well, this year they had to reestablish the price, and it's already gone up about another 15%. So, and right now the price of water is not at the point that desalinization makes sense yet.
Yes.
Sometime in the future it might be.
All right.
So we've got to explore the possibilities.
All right, General Ted Maxwell, always a pleasure. Thank you, General, and we'll look forward to our next visit.
Bill, I look forward to it as well.
Thanks. Coming up next, we'll be talking with Jim Click. It's Buckmaster on our midweek edition. Be right back after the break.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade, using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bonvoyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zilkalo Village Studios. We love green things. Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't anybody love green things? Their 13-acre site over at 3384 East River Road, ready with beautiful things for your spring garden planting. GreenThingsAZ.com is the website. They're in their 51st year of business. They are open daily. Also, check out Zilkalo Village over there for all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Jim Click, well-known Tucson automotive dealer and very well-known philanthropist. Mr. Click, how are you?
Hey, Bill, I'm just great, and I've enjoyed listening to you just now, and I love the little commercial for Reed Park Zoo. As you know, the Click family loves the zoo. And Peter Evans, my friend at Bon Voyage. So, yeah, thanks for having me on today, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure, Mr. Click, to have you on. I wanted to let our listeners know about this year's Millions for Tucson charity raffle. This has been launched, and I want you to, if you would, explain to our listeners what it's all about.
Well, Bill, several years ago when Ford came out with the Bullet Mustang, or maybe it was the Thunderbird, I don't remember which, but we decided it'd be nice if we gave a vehicle away and let any charity in Southern Arizona participate. So we started 10, 12 years ago, and over that amount of time, I think we've raised about $9 million for local charities. But, Bill, any nonprofit, any 501c3, can participate. We've given away a Ford truck. We've given away a Thunderbird. We've given away Grand Cherokee Jeeps. We gave away an electric car back when electric cars weren't in. Well, the first electric car was from Nissan. So it's been a really fun thing for us to do. And the best news is this $9 million has been kept by all these nonprofits. As long as it's a nonprofit, Bill, we can't sell the tickets for them, but we'll print the tickets, we'll help them advertise, they can go on our website, and it's just been, and every year when we kick it off, we meet with all the charities. I get a chance to thank them for the wonderful work they do in our community to make life better for people or for animals or for police or fire. It's just been it's just been a lot of fun, and this year we've got three prizes. We've got a 22 Ford Maverick Lariat Hybrid. They're very hard to get right now, so Ford Motor Company's agreed to give us one of those to have our main gift. And then our second prize is a two first-class round-trip tickets anywhere in the world.
Wow.
And then $5,000 in cash. And, Bill, I have to tell you, we have our – and, by the way, at the zoo – we usually have all the 501c3s there to kick it off, and last year we had the drawing there, and we had more fun calling the people, and they'd say, "Now, who is this?" And I'd say, "Well, it's Jim Click, and I'm calling on behalf of the Millions for Tucson raffle, and you've just won a new Ford truck." And, well, you got to be kidding me! No, it's true. So it's an easy way, I think, for nonprofits, no matter how big or small they are. They do great work again, Bill. So all they have to do is let us know to participate. We'll give them the tickets. All they have to do is sell them, and they keep 100% of the proceeds.
Yeah, that's a huge point. You keep 100% of the nonprofits. They keep 100% of what they raise through the ticket sales with no set-asides or holdbacks for administration, and the Click organization will pay for all of the materials, the flyers, tickets, banners, and program support. So it's a winner.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun for me, especially when we get to thank the 501c3s in person. I've got to know a lot of these people over the years. We've done it. We've also participated with them through our companies. But I have to tell you, it's heartwarming, Bill, to see the wonderful work in Tucson, Arizona, and Southern Arizona that these organizations provide, whether it's the food bank, whether it's a homeless shelter, whether it's taking care of animals or taking care of people. There's veterans organizations, and I have to tell you that there's one organization that provides fly fishing opportunity for vets who have been wounded or have PTSD. And I had these guys at my ranch. I was able to take maybe 10 or 15 of them fly fishing, and it just it was so inspirational for me to be around these heroes who have been injured and to see them having so much fun. And they're all upbeat. They all love our country. They have no animosity. All they wanted to do was give to this great country of ours.
Jim Click, before we let you go, are you optimistic about coming out of the two-year pandemic? How's the picture look to you here in town?
Well, Bill, I think it's very, very positive. Obviously, we got to get this damn war behind us. But America today is, our economy's good, the stock market's good, interest rates, even though they're going up, are still at an all-time low. Housing is, we need housing right now. The automotive business has been good, but we just haven't got enough cars because of supply chain. But we're going to be, I'm an optimist. I think we've still got the best country in the world. We've got the best community here in Tucson. And I think Tucson's going to be really good, Bill, these next two or three years. That doesn't mean we can't have some ups and downs, but, and I want to just say, if people want to, if you've got an organization, you can go on to millionsfortucson.com.org, and you can find out the organizations that are already participating and buy the tickets. Tickets are $25 or $5 for $100. And if a charity wants to participate, they can do the same thing, or they can just call my office, and we'll make it real easy for a nonprofit to raise some money, Bill, for their organization.
All right. Thank you very much, Jim Click. Always a pleasure. Good circling back
Bill,
and talking with you.
And listen, thanks for what you do for our community. We appreciate you.
Thank you very much. Jim Click with us on The Buckmaster Show. And again, that's millionsfortucson.com, the charity event that the Click organization sponsors each year and has raised a ton of money. It's a great organization. We'll be right back on Buckmaster.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority. At Tucson International Airport, we're nonstop supporting jobs and prosperity as an economic engine for our entire region. From an innovative and touchless passenger experience to earning the GBAC Star Accreditation, the golden standard for cleanliness, our team is ready to welcome you back to Tucson International Airport. Begin your journey with us. We're nonstop for you, Southern Arizona.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is starting to review projects submitted by RTA member jurisdictions for consideration for the next RTA plan. The committee will consider plan goals and performance factors as they move into the selection process. The RTA will seek public feedback on the committee's draft plan when it is ready. Learn more about plan goals and sign up to stay informed at rtanext.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Discover your world inside Biosphere 2. Explore living, breathing scientific research. Using the new Biosphere 2 Experience app, you can now explore one of the wonders of the world's amazing 30-year history and future through never-before-seen videos and photos. Visit today at info@biosphere2.org. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. They've just been a wonderful sponsor of ours over the years. And, you know, we send a lot of our listeners over to that area of the Land of Enchantment. It's about a three-hour drive, depending on where you are in the metro area. Not a bad drive at all, east of Tucson. Kind of take a left at Lordsburg, then just head up into the mountains to about 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Beautiful climate. It's in the 50s there today. It's usually, they kind of run about 10 to 15 degrees below our high temperatures. So with that elevation, cools things off. Gila National Wilderness is there, the world famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. Great places to stay and dine in great Victorian architecture in Silver City. Their website is southwestnewmexico.org to start your travel planning. Boy, I tell you, we've had all the heavyweights in our community on the program today. General Maxwell was here from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council. We had Jim Click with us, and now a heavyweight in his field, certainly. And he's given a lot back to this community. One time, kind of chamber. Wait, Michael C. Flowers, Small Businessman of the Year, right? And you give a lot back to this town.
I think I'm a heavyweight and weight only compared to Jim and Ted. Well, two unbelievably generous and perfect people, really. Jim Click does so much for this town. It's unbelievable. I admire and respect him.
So we've got our tax deadline coming up. What's different about this year, Michael C. Flowers?
I'm not going to say everything, but they...
Just about, right?
On the business side, they made all sorts of changes. On the individual side, they've been very generous to families. Families with children are getting credits. And in the past, if you had credits, you would not be able to get those refunded. But now those are refundable credits. I just signed a return before I came here, and somebody's getting $6,000 back in the
form.
$6,000 for having a couple of kids back.
What?
So, yeah. So the credit, I believe, is about $4,000.
Is this all part of that, the kind of the fallout from the COVID stuff?
It's somewhat related to that, but, they've been very family friendly, if mm-hmm. you would. So mm-hmm. the thing I would remind the listeners of, though, the April 15th is the deadline. You can get an extension. The extension's automatic. We'll talk about that in a minute or mm-hmm. two. But if you're going to fund your IRA, you have to do that by April 15th. And if you're going to take advantage of the tax credits for Arizona, those also need to be done by April 15th.
Mm.
So... a lot of people think, well, I'll just do it when I do my return on extension. At that point, it'd be too late. So I want to remind the listeners to do that.
How's this deal with the extension work? You say everybody can get an automatic extension. Does that mean if you owe money, you can push that down the road?
No, Bill. That's who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, hey,
next year maybe. It's an automatic extension of time to file, not time to pay. So if you think you owe $20,000, you can't have an extension and then pay it in October at $20,000 because they'll charge you interest and a penalty. But if you do think you owe $20,000, then you should send it because you were required to send it by April 15th anyway. You can add that amount to your extension and put it on your extension form. The form's 4868. But don't get misled that, oh, geez, I don't want to send them the money now, and I'd rather send it to them later because they will penalize and charge you interest.
But are the penalties big?
It's about 6% interest. It's a 0.5% per month that you don't pay, as well as the interest rate.
So it really adds up.
So it adds up, and it's not a good thing to be involved in. You know, if you owe the IRS money, you certainly don't want to be on their naughty list.
And as far as small business people, what's the big kind of marquee item that we should know about?
The big items for small businesses are the PPP loan and the related forgiveness.
Yeah.
Hopefully everybody's aware that originally that PPP loan forgiveness was going to be taxable, which would have been devastating, but they did come about and say any PPP loan forgiveness is non-taxable. And it also adds to your basis, which is sort of tax terminology, but it's as if you put that money into the company and you'll be able to use that to offset when you sell the company. Or if you have losses, you'll be able to take the losses because of the PPP loan. So that's been very generous. And then there's something that small to medium-sized businesses should pay a lot of attention to. It's the employee retention tax credit, where the government is giving about $5,000 per quarter per employee. If you've had a decrease in revenue of only 20% in 21 quarter to quarter, in 20 it had to be a 50% reduction. So hopefully people are working with CPAs that know these things and are advising accordingly. But if you're the type that does it on your own on TurboTax, TurboTax certainly isn't going to tell you, you know, what to look for if you would.
Well, you know what people say. People love CPAs. I love certified public accountants. But there are some who will say, you know, Bill and Michael, I just can't afford their services.
You can't afford not to use a CPA is what I tell people. I don't know that we've ever done a return where we haven't saved more than our fee just with the knowledge that we have. You know, just your non-cash contributions are deductible. I didn't know that. Well, that just saved you a couple of $100 or, you know, fund your IRA or we find additional deductions or whatever. But it's also the peace of mind. I don't know how anybody would feel comfortable in any type of complicated tax situation doing their own return because, you know, I'm required to have 40 hours of education every year to keep my CPA certificate. And even with that, we are challenged with the new rules and the new ways they're interpreting the rules and what's deductible, what's not deductible, who's a dependent, who gets to take the child, what happens if I get divorced.
Is it still an attractive field? Do you have young people that want to become CPAs? Or are you having the shortage like everybody else?
There's a shortage, and the shortage has been more pronounced with the COVID, if you would, but what's interesting in our profession are more and more women are coming into the profession, and more than 50% of the new CPAs are female.
Really?
And I think that's a wonderful statement. And I think there's unbelievable opportunity for the women of the world to advance and become partners and own firms and do what's been traditionally somewhat a male field. I think in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, CPAs were predominantly male, and now it is swinging towards being more co-ed, if you would.
You love numbers. Did that something that manifested itself with sports? And I know you love sports. When you were a kid, did you kind of play around with numbers when you were sports thing? Not saying you were a big batter or anything like that.
No, I knew my batting average. If I was 2 for 7, I knew I was .288. If I was for 14, you know, whatever my batting average. Yeah. And
you followed baseball in the metropolitan New York area.
Yeah, I grew up in New York City, and that was the Mickey Mantle, Roger Maris days, and I was 6 years old when Roger Maris hit his 60th home run, and the legendary Yankees were well known throughout New York. York City, and I still have a love for those type teams. With modern baseball, it's a little bit more difficult. We did go to Derek Jeter's last game, and he's a legend as well. Mm-hmm. So we still respect the game and enjoy that. But, yeah, I think you need a love of numbers because that's what you're dealing with. But intellectually, it's very challenging because it's very – law oriented or very legal. You have to read a lot of documents and you got to stay current and, you know, you got to stay on your toes.
So, getting back to the tax returns, people are always confused about charities. There's now, I think people are, they learn that there's this blanket deduction. You know, a lot of people like to give, and I'm glad they do, to all of our local charities, but there is some kind of a blanket deduction, right?
If you take the standard deduction, this is going to get a little bit complicated, Bill, but the government allows a married couple about $25,000 to take off their taxes, regardless if they own a home, if they rent or whatever. So $25,000 for a married couple.
$25,000?
Yes, it's substantial. So if you have a mortgage and taxes and you contribute, and that comes up to $18,000, you're really not getting any benefit from your charity contribution because the government's going to give you 25 and you'd rather take the higher number in that case. So what the IRS has said, well, if you itemize, I believe it's $600, they'll allow up to $600 to be taken off in addition to what the standard deduction is. If you're added up all your interest and taxes and medical and it came out to $30,000, and $5,000 of that was charity, then you're getting the full benefit from the charity at that point in time.
Another thing a CPA will remind you of, and it may be a little thing, but they remind you, make sure you sign your return.
Sign your return, put enough postage on it, send it certified. Get your Social Security number right. I mean, if you're writing them in, it's amazing. Some of the stuff we see with new clients, and geez, you know, that's that's not even your Social Security number. So it's
and fraud is a big issue too.
Fraud, fortunately we don't get involved in that, but we hear about it, and there are people, and the last person I would want to try to mess around with is the IRS, but people are filing false tax returns, claiming kids, claiming wages, doing all sorts of things, and when the IRS finds you, it becomes ugly, and, you know, they get more and more computer savvy with everything, so.
Michael, we send a lot of our listeners over to you, and let's talk a little bit about where they find you, and would you be happy to talk with some of our listeners?
Yeah, Bill, as always, we don't charge for the initial consultation. That's a courtesy to you and just to
Thank
the public.
You.
And they can call me in my office, 520-327-8706. Or if you Google Michael Flowers, and Flowers is easy to know and spell, just like roses, and you will, there's a lot on us, and you'll get to our website pretty quickly with our phone number and contact information. But at this point, people are pretty much looking at extensions.
Yes.
So CPAs are backed up. We cut people off about a week ago Monday because we, as I told my partner, I think we have 7 weeks worth of work to do in 3 weeks.
We better let you get back to the office, Michael.
Like,
I appreciate you coming
in. Glad to be here.
All right. Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant, the CPA of the Buckmaster Show. We hope it goes well for you the rest of the season, and then you can take a deep breath after April 15th, Michael.
Thank you, and thanks for all you do, Bill. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right, we'll leave it right there. We've got Dave Ramsey and his very popular show talking about money, and that's coming up next on KVOI. On behalf of certified public accountant Michael C. Flowers, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.